morning to everyone. I am Marina Busigina, and I am professor at the Department of Political Science and International Relations at the High School of Economics, St. Petersburg, Russia. And today we are going to discuss, to talk about populism with a special focus on populism and in democracies and autocracies and the difference between those. But prior to saying about rise of the populism, we would need to discuss what is particularly on the rise. If we say this is the rise of populism, and this was the consensus issue about this rise among scholars and practitioners, and we can also note the large geographic scope of this rise, since there are a lot of populist leaders and a lot of populist parties, and these political parties are located, you can find them everywhere, in all the continents, in Latin America, in Africa, in Eurasia, in Europe, and in North America, America as well. But again, what is on the rise and how we can very briefly determine what is populism? Populism is an ideology. This is what the scholars, those who study populism would tell us. But this is a special ideology. This is an ideology which is based on two primary claims. First, this is about the true people and the country's true people, true people living in the country, they find themselves in permanent conflict with the outsiders, including establishment elites. And the second claim is that nothing should constrain the will of the true people. Look, there are very simple claims. There are only two of them. And what does that mean? That means that the concrete ideas which construct populist ideology of a populist leader or of a populist party will be very much the matter of national context and will be very much conditioned by the national set of factors. So this is, what does that mean? This means that the modern populism are very diverse. This also means that populism holds specific view on politics. Populists do not see the politics as a battleground between different policy positions and the questions of bargaining and so on and so forth. On the contrary, they attribute a singular common good to the people, and not to the people, but to the true people. Moreover, the populism emphasizes a direct connection with its supporters. So this is the populist and their supporters. And this connection is very, I would say, intimate. It's not mediated by the institutions, be it political parties, be it civil society group, or the media, or the others. Populism is directed primarily against political elites, but not necessarily. And what is also important is that populist leaders tend to reach their votes in a personalistic way. Why is populism so attractive? Indeed, when we see this picture, this 33 countries being, linked and being with populism, with different versions of populism, then we can very reasonably ask ourselves, what is the reason? Why is it so attractive, this thin-centered ideology? One of the reasons would be, I will name you two, one of the reasons will be, and this is the kind of the very logic reason, is the failure of governing or established parties or leaders to deal effectively with the current challenges. However, the other, and I think this is not less important reason, is related to globalization and to the uncertainty caused by complex problems and complex challenges, which can come so fast, and the uncertainty is growing so fast and changes are coming so quickly that the people have no time to accommodate them. And the populism, and this is here the attraction. So here for me, lies the secret of populism, of its attractiveness. That populism proposes simplistic view on this, on our complex and diverse world, and allows the supporters to see these complex problems as simple ones. So in the more or less black and white manner. And also to very easily identify enemies who are against the true people to have better and happier life. So in a way, populism creates a refuge for the people. It also creates demand for strong and unconstrained leader unfettered by inconvenient institution like other branch of power and the other institutions of the like media, political parties and the agencies and so on and so forth. So it means this art constrains leadership. So the leader who would tell you what to do and you would understand what to do in a very simple way. So this is this personalistic way of communicating with the supporters. What is also important, and here we come to our focus. This is the populism affects both democracies and autocracies. All the political regimes can be affected by populism because these considerations, which was in the previous slide, they are valid for all the societies, for the democracies and for the autocracies. If you want some examples, so here they are. This is Bulgaria, Germany, France, United Kingdom, Greece, and the other countries. I just to take some from Europe. This is on the democratic side of populism. And then you would see some examples on the like Belarus, Russia, Georgia, Turkey, and this will be non-democratic, I would say, kind of camp. So you would have populism affecting both democracies and autocracies. How there are significant differences between authoritarian and democratic populism. And to these differences, we will come to the part two. And now I finish part one. Thank you very much. I finished just saying that populism affects both democracies and autocracies, and there are significant differences between them. Let's look first in the democratic populism. What we will see there, we will see anti-establishment populism. As a rule, because there are cases then you would have not anti-establishment populism, but as a rule, you would have the anti-establishment one. And the claim of the anti-establishment populism would be that these true people, which I mentioned before, they are victims of the state, which is run by special interests. And the established elites are corrupted. They are not only corrupted, they can only also be described by populists as non-professional, as just greedy, as non-capable of doing things and non-capable of making really good decisions. Then the claim would be about unfair redistribution schemes used by the state, used by the established elites, meaning these schemes, which are not in favor of the true people, but that would favor the other groups. Then the common argument of the anti-establishment populism and democracies would be about with regard to migrants. It will be said and claimed that migrants will take your jobs and you will go unemployed. So this is something very short, something very brief with regard to anti-establishment populism, which we very often meet in democracies. What is an autocracy? This populism is very different in my view. This is about discursive populism. The true people will be the native members of the state, and the outsiders there, this will be the groups like immigrants, criminals, some minorities, and also cosmopolitan elites. The discursive populism will tend to emphasize, to play special value on the religious traditionalism, on the sovereignty, this is called sovereignism, and on the stability. The state may be described and is described oftenly as the absolute and the highest value of the people. And the role of incumbent would be also very large as an embodiment of the true people. Here, just a few examples, like the slogans of Putin is the state, this is about Russia, and Chavez is the people, as this is the Hugo Chavez, the former president of Venezuela. One very small thing is that populism is not also, we can observe the difference between democratic and authoritarian populism, but also populism can contribute to the transition to authoritarian rule. Populism was a factor, claim Levitsky and Loxton, was a factor contributing to transition from weak democracies to competitive authoritarianism. And they build their argumentation on the cases in Latin America. However, further such research has been conducted also on the case of Turkey. This is the crucial slide where I try to summarize the factors which make a difference between democratic and authoritarian populism. The first thing I would like to stress is the different strategic aims of populism. So this is about the difference between coming to power, and this is with regard to anti-establishment populism, when you want to replace the ruling elites, or to maintain the power. And this is not anti-establishment, but this is pro-establishment or state populism, where the ultimate aim would be the political survival of the incumbent through populism. Then, what is specific for the authoritarian regimes is are restrictions on political competition. So there is no anti-establishment populism in autocracies, in consolidated autocracies are possible. Look the fate of Navalny in the Russian Federation. Navalny was described by many as populist and as anti-establishment populist. So, and his strength and his support is now destroyed in Russia. What is under current restrictions of the political competition and autocracies, what is possible is not anti-establishment populism, but just more populist wings inside the ruling coalition. Again, the example from Russia would be Liberal Democratic Party in Russia, headed by Vladimir Zhirinovsky. Also in autocracies, we can expect the expressed external dimension of populism, while the elites, which are against the true people of my country, would be found not in my own country, but external enemies and the ruling elite of the other countries. And what is also important then in autocracies, state populism works very well through information manipulation and framing of the universal discourse. And generally, this information manipulation is crucial for modern autocracies. This is much more, not much more, but this is also along with the coercion, the information manipulation would be crucial. And we can think about the theory of Gurev and Freisman about the informational autocracies. So this would be crucial. All in all, what I would like to say, and here I would like to finish. Indeed, democracies and autocracies, they do have populisms, and these populisms are very different. However, what is in common with regard to populism, to all the populism, first, the populism is about conflict. It does emphasize conflict, and this is about conflict and very simple recipes, how to solve this conflict. And then the populism is about finding and kind of claiming the existence of the final truth. And this final truth is attained to the true people. This means that the populism is not about discussions. Thank you very much, and I stop here.